to the Lord. I want you to come up here. We're going to have so much fun today. Now, we're going to start a new song today. And the basic principle is this. I agree with what God says about me. That is so, so, so powerful. Why is that powerful? Because in order for anything, for God to do something on this earth, we've got to couple our faith with the word of God, right? Not only do we have to speak the word of God, because a lot of times we can speak something, but it doesn't happen. It's got to be the word of God coupled with our faith, amen? So how many of you believe this morning that you know that God, what am I saying? Guys, the words just literally left my head. I had a whole thing prepared. He's sufficient in all things, amen? How many of you believe the word of God this morning? Hallelujah! Do you agree with what God says about you this morning? Take 30 seconds, find somebody you don't know, and I want you to tell them what the word of God says about them. That's not very hard. Come on, get some scriptures out. Hallelujah. Your name's Julia, right? Julia, God says you're beautiful. Do you believe it? Amen. Brittany, God says you're more than a conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. Ida, God says you're healed this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Do we believe what the word of God says about us this morning? Hallelujah. Now you gotta move with this song. You can't just stay still. Come on, clap with me. Everybody shout with me. Yes, Lord, I agree. Everybody shout with me. Yes, Lord, I agree. Everybody shout with me. You say it. All things are possible. All things. Come on, sing it. All things are possible. All things. You got it. Everybody shout with me. Everybody shout with me. Everybody shout with me. All things are possible. All things. All things are possible. I concur. I concur. I agree. I believe what God says about me. I concur. I agree. All things are possible. Come on, sing all things. All things are possible.
Not fail. God cannot fail.
Because, oh man, have you ever felt the victory of Jesus in a situation before? Are you sure? Because I wouldn't be standing here clapping like this. You would literally be losing your minds if you really understood that you had a God on your side that cannot fail. The only thing impossible for God is failure. The only thing impossible for God is defeat. The only thing impossible for God is that he would lie. He cannot. And if you believe his word this morning, I want to hear a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. How many know that we are more than overcomers, right? Through every situation that we go through, we know that with God, all things are possible, right? So let's just go ahead and raise our hands and just start talking to him. Talk about your situation, that you have overcome your situation, that the battle has already been won.
Seated above, thrown in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Sin, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is.
is too hard for you. Oh, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. Everything we need in this world is in you. Everything we need in this world is in you. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. The Word has a name, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. Oh, sing holiness. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Sing victory has a name, and it's Jesus. And it's Jesus. Oh, if you're looking for redemption, and it's Jesus. Oh, sing holiness, and it's Jesus. Yeah, my victory, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Oh, Jesus, it's only in Jesus. Sing healing has a name, and it's Jesus. Sing love has a name, and it's Jesus. Yeah, redemption, and it's Jesus. Jesus, sing love has a name, and it's Jesus. Sing victory,
victory has a name, and it's Jesus. Come on, say the name of Jesus.
The Word has a name,
and it's Jesus. Father, we thank you that your name is above every name. Jesus, that at your name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. God, that every problem has to bow. Every sickness has to bow. Every situation has to bow. Every circumstance has to bow. At the name of Jesus, God, we thank you that your name is more powerful than anything else. God, we give you honor and praise. The access that we have in the heavenlies, Lord, because of the name of Jesus. We honor you this morning with your goodness. We thank you, we love you, and we need you, Christ. We declare it with no reservation, no inhibition. We say, Jesus, without you, we don't even know where our lives would be. We thank you for your name that's above every single name. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout it. I said, everybody shout it. Amen. Why don't you welcome five or six folks on your way back to your chair. Let them know how much you love Jesus.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Hey guys, are you newly saved or just want to get more involved or simply grow? We have a class just for you. I encourage you to come to our Growth Track class from 9:45 to 10:45 at our Ithaca campus. Hope to see you there.
We are so excited to be bringing Next Steps across all of our campuses. I want to invite you out on Tuesday nights at Horseheads Campus and Mansfield Campus at 7 p.m. Wednesdays, Horseheads Campus at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 6 p.m. at the Horseheads and Ithaca campuses. You do not want to miss out on the great opportunity to build your faith, build your foundation, and to grow.
How are you folks doing today? Awesome. Isn't it great to be in the house of God? I love it. I'm so glad you're here. I want to welcome everybody who's joining us on live stream. Thank you for tuning in. If you're a first-time guest, we like to take care of you and get to know you. Can you raise your hand if you're a first-time guest today? Is there anyone here? We have ushers who are going to come bring you a special gift to welcome you to our house. Keep them up if you have them so we can see you. You are welcome to join us for our guest reception on that side of the building. We have snacks and refreshments, and you'll get a chance to meet some of our leaders and our pastors because we want to get to know you. So if you're new here, or even if it's just like your second time, join us right over there right after service. A couple things. If you are between the ages of 18 and 30, can I hear your voice? Yeah. Tonight is Awaken Monthly. We love to hang out with our young adults. It is the annual summer bash. We're going to have food and games. You are not going to want to miss this. So tonight, right here, 6 p.m., all right? How many of you folks have seen the little empty baby bottles out in the foyer? Yeah? We are raising money for the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. If you have taken a bottle home, please bring it back by next Sunday. And there's still time for you to take one home with you today and bring it home next Sunday on Father's Day. It's a great thing that we do. So please take part. There's still time to do a bottle. Lastly, Love Week is here. I'm sure you've been hearing about it. This is an amazing opportunity for you folks to get involved in our community and to love on some of the people who need it most. We have opportunities all day long, this Thursday, this Friday, and this Saturday. Even if you think you might not be fit for something or you don't have the time, there is something that you can do and get involved with. So you can come see me out in the foyer, but I have a really easy way for you to get some info. I'm sure everybody's got your phones. If you could text HT Love Week, one word, HT Love Week, to 97000. It is going to instantly send you a link with all the information you need, and you can register right there on your phone. So I am super excited. We're also having a huge kickoff rally on Thursday night. We are joining forces with Uproar so that we have a chance to get filled and involved. There's going to be food and games and a great message. Everyone's welcome. There's no reason why you can't come and get involved. So I look forward to this week. Thank you so much for your support so far, and please welcome me in joining Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. Wow, God is doing awesome things in this house. So much happened just this past weekend. They had Hope Night at Notre Dame High School. 23 salvations. God is so good and so faithful. We had Encounter Weekend. The ladies are going to come up right after offering and share a quick testimony of what God did in their lives. And when you come up this morning and bring your offering, make sure everyone comes up, because we're also going to have communion cups up here. So you want to take your communion cup and bring it back to your seat with you. It'll be a part of the service today. So I just want to open the word of God regarding our finances. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Everything belongs to the Lord. Everything that we have comes from God. And the only thing he requires of us is that we tithe. And that is, the word tithe means 10%. So he only requires 10% from us. So the scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover. Now this in the New Living Translation says, the most important thing. The Amplified says, essentially required. It is essentially required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we are stewards of everything that God has given. And the only thing he requires of us as stewards is that we be found faithful in our stewardship. And that's so easy on our part. It's our joy to be able to give our tithe to the Lord, because everything we have and everything he's done for us, it is our joy to give unto the Lord. So if you're ready this morning, stand to your feet. I've talked a little bit too much in the last 2 weeks, so we're going to give my voice a rest for the next 2 weeks. Pastor loves it when that happens. He gets a nice quiet household. But it doesn't stop me, voice or no voice. I'll keep talking, so let's declare our supernatural declaration, and it's found in Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll just repeat it after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Don't forget to come forward and grab a communion cup. Grab a cup for those sitting with you. Make sure everyone gets their communion cup. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us. Could I have all the Encounter women please join me on the stage? Quickly, quickly, if you're from Encounter, join me on the stage.
You overcame. Jesus.
Encounter ladies, please join me on the stage. Stage.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome and power. Amen.
Jesus. We just finished another encounter weekend. I don't know where Carla is. I think this was number 8 encounter weekend. All right, we're going to go with number 8. Number 8 encounter weekend. When you set aside time for God to meet with Him, God will meet with you. How many women here have already been through encounter? If you'll just stand to your feet real quickly. Woo, this is awesome. Excellent. We're just going to have these ladies share one word. Our next encounter is not scheduled until June, but I think you're going to force our hand because we already have a waiting list for the next encounter. So maybe if we fill up enough, we can bump it a little bit sooner. So if you are interested in going to an encounter, see Carla Vischer. And I'm just going to pass this over because mine's done.
My one word is delivered. My one word is freedom. And because I have freedom, I'm going to say more than one word. I saw a vision that I didn't get to share with the women at the encounter, and it was a heavenly vision of a library in heaven, and all these books were coming off shelves, and there were angels opening the books and so excited because they were our destinies and they were on assignment. So keep up with your angels and go, because He was releasing destiny.
Holiness.
Trust.
Beautiful.
Ready. I'm not waiting anymore.
Yeah. Come on. Release, let go, and bury it.
Amen. Global ministry.
Refreshed.
I can only control myself. Everything else goes to God.
Breakout.
Financial freedom.
I was told that I don't have to have control of my life, and I've been freed of that.
Amen. Worthy. Freedom. These ladies, we will never be the same again. We are changed by the presence of God. Thank you all so much for sharing.
Isn't it great knowing that your life can be changed by Christ? You know, a lot of times you go to church and you end up, ladies who have been to, who are the ladies that are, again, who have been to encounter before? Can you stand up? I really just feel to say this to you. Things were deposited in your life when you were at this encounter. And some of you have stepped back from what was given to you. And I really sense in my spirit that you need to not let go of what was yours. God gave it to you that week. And then time has seemed to erode it away. Go back and get it. God does not take back what He gives. Amen? So can you turn to the lady next to you and say, don't give it up. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to receive communion. How many of you love communion? Amen. If you did not receive a communion cup but would like one, if you'll just raise your hand, the ushers are ready to bring them to you as quickly as possible. Very good. Just raise your hand. The ushers are on their way. In the back as well. To me, communion is so different, and I'm just not a real good traditionalist. How many of you know that by now? Not a real good traditionalist. And I believe that so many great things that Christ has installed has become religious but not meaningful. And communion is powerful. It is life-transforming. Jesus didn't do anything just to do something. There's always a supernatural purpose behind it. And this is about you and I remembering. We need another one over here. Very good. This is for us to remember what Jesus accomplished on the tree. Now, how many of you heard me talk about what I pray for over my family? I always pray the covenant of God over my family pretty much every single day. Now, how many of you know that God cannot break a covenant? It's not possible for God to break a covenant. God is yes and amen. If He said it, you can rely on it, trust it, know that it is God's will. And so I pray over my family, the covenant, what we're talking about with communion. I pray over my family that not one of my family, Michael, Rhonda, Cody, Chad, Corinne, not one of my family dealing with Mindy, Jade, and Antonio. He's the newest one in the bunch. No, I got them all. Sophia and Julian, all of Chad and Jade's children, all of Corinne and Antonio's children to the fifth generation. I pray to the fifth generation because the Bible says in Exodus that the sins of the father follow the children to the third and fourth generation. So I want the blessing to go further than the cursing. Amen. And I declare in the name of Jesus that not one of my children will be lost. Not one in the fifth generation will be lost, but they'll all fulfill their destiny. You see, when Jesus picked up that cup, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." You see, the power of the blood sets people free. The power of the blood destroys the power of sin. And so when I grab that cup, and we're going to do that this morning, I prophesy over my family. I decree over my family. I speak. Remember, life and death are in the power of your words. I speak over my family that not one of them will be lost, but all will fulfill their destiny. Then we have, well, it's almost a cracker. We're not really sure what it is. We believe in faith that it's something. Thank God it's symbolism. But the body of Jesus, you know what I decree over my family? There'll be no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growths. I decree that by the power and the body of Christ, my family does not have to be healed, but they'll live in health. You see, Christ's determination was not healing. Healing is for when health seems to go. But I have the right, we have the right to live in health. Turn to someone and say, I have the right to be saved, blood washed, power of sin broken, and I have the right to live in health. And I decree over my family as well that prosperity will chase us down. It will trip us up. We're always going to have more than enough. We're going to be able to give to every situation that comes down the pike. I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You see, so when you take communion, it can be, well, thank God for the cracker. Thank God for the cup. Or you can decree like me, and I declare over the fifth generation of the Spencers, and I know this, that when you declare the covenant, God always backs it up. Can I hear an amen? So this morning, I don't know your families, but this is what I want you to do real quick. I want you to start declaring your families right now. I want you to name your children right out loud. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want you to name your children. I want you to name your family, those that you want part of the covenant that you are working with. And I want you to declare their names. And this is what we're going to say. In the name of Jesus, and pick up your cup with me this morning. In the name of Jesus, not one of them will be lost. Come on, not one of them. Some of you are looking at your family and you're saying, he'll never get saved. I want you to know, don't you dare give the devil a foothold, even in your mouth. Let your believer be a believer. Can I hear an amen? Call those things which are not as though they already are. I declare that not one shall be lost all the way to the fifth generation in the name of Jesus. And I give you praise, Lord, this morning for that price you paid on Calvary's tree that we can live whole and healthy in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup together. The cracker represents the healing that Jesus bought. He bought it. I want you to know it's not something that, you know, it goes to a few folk, but he bought it. By his stripes, I am healed. Oh, let's talk about 1 Peter chapter 2. By his stripes, I was healed. It's not religion. It's where it all gets messed up with folk. So this morning, let's take the cracker. If you got sickness in your body, you declared over your body the word of God, I'm healed. Come on, speak it over your body, I'm healed. Come on, over your generations, you're healed. Diseases have no place in your family. Can it? Come on now, declare it in Jesus' name. No maiming, come on now. No sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, and no growth. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that your covenant is yea and amen, and that we are covenant children. Lord, I just thank you so much for your goodness and your blessing. in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I need the microphone. Amen. We have something special. There's somebody special this morning. I want to introduce my uncle and my aunt to you. I think they were here last year. Did you hear the Bostonian come out? Aunt. Some of you call them aunts. I don't believe in aunts. I believe in aunts. Uncle Howard and Aunt Jane, if you can come on up, I'm going to have you pray over the message. My Uncle Howard has been in the ministry for 55 years, which means his wife has been too. He is a bishop. I just learned that this week. He's a presiding bishop with the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. And I'm blessed to have him here, both here this morning. And I'd love to have you pray over the Word of God. Thank you.
Father, we're delighted to be in your house this morning. What a privilege to come. What a privilege to come into the Holy of Holies, be able to worship you, and to take upon ourselves the Word of God. We pray the anointing over our pastor this morning, that you'll anoint him, give him a great message this morning for us. And the Holy Spirit can take that message and make it personal to each one of our needs, each one of our concerns, each one of our fears. And Lord, bring deliverance to each and everyone needing it. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I'm honored, and I just want to say thank you both for being here. We love you. Can you give him a hand clap, Uncle? I love you. How old are you now? He's only 78 years old, still preaching the gospel every single week. Amen? Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning. You're saying where? I don't know. You're going to have to figure that out as we keep moving. This is the year of... Man, did Pastor Obi crush it last week or what? We are so blessed in this house. Last Sunday, we had our launch down in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. And 158 people came out to the launch last week in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. This week, and you know, I thank all of you that went down to support. You made this house kind of quiet, but you went down to support. I believe there were about 80 to 90 brand new people down there. The rest were our folk just going down to support. We love you. Thank you for supporting the vision. But I don't want us to forget we've also launched that campus in Ithaca 9 months ago. And you need to know that in Ithaca, it is the fastest growing church in that county. And that God, already every week now, we're on average of 150 souls in Ithaca, New York. I love it because they've always said, Ithaca is so hard. There's a dark cloud over Ithaca. Well, I'm sorry. We're the light. Isn't that simple? Light dispels darkness. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're taking there, we're already down in Mansfield, going to take down there. And one pastor said to me, you know, Pastor, we don't want you here. We don't want you in Ithaca. And I says, why? He said, because you guys take over things. And I said, amen. We're here to take back what the devil's stolen. It's time to take back and allow the kingdom of God to march again instead of waddle. This is the year of... How many of you found you've been going to your next level already? Been talking about the next level faith. Faith is so powerful because without faith, you can't even please God. You've heard me give the example before. Somebody came up to me one day and said, you're one of those faith preachers, one of those hyper-faith guys, right? And I said, well, of course, aren't you? He says, no, I'm not a hyper-faith guy. I said, well, I am, because the more faith I have, the more I please God. I want to please God with everything that's within me. I want God to be pleased with my life. And that comes by learning to walk by faith and not by sight. So the more faith we have, the more trust we have in God, the more we're able to step out and literally see the collision of the two realms come to reality of where heaven supersedes earth. This is a strong problem within the body of Christ. You've heard people say, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. How many of you ever heard somebody say that? I want you to realize that's not the reality in most churches. That's not the reality in most believers' lives. We're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. And the shift has to come to where we start getting back and trusting God again that His word is truth. And that we start to learn that the kingdom of God supersedes the natural senses. You see, as we've been learning, we've learned simply this, and that is this, that the two worlds, we connect with the physical world through our five senses. But we connect through the spiritual world with our faith. If our faith is weak, we're going to rely more on our senses. And the problem with living in our sense world is it doesn't make sense. When you learn by and live by your sense world, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight, which means you can only see what's right in front of you. How many of you know you and I cannot determine what's going to happen in an hour? Only God knows what's going to happen. So when we walk by faith, we're putting our trust that the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who surrounds us, the one who we call Father, the one who He calls us sons and daughters, we are the family of God, that we can trust God because we know He knows our tomorrow. He knows our destiny. For the steps of a righteous man are founded on the Lord. When you learn how to walk by faith, you learn how the physical sense world is a reality to this realm, but that the realm that's in heaven is more powerful than the realm on earth. When you don't know that, then you're just always going to struggle as a believer. And I want you to know that that's not God's plan for your life. The roller coaster ride with Jesus is not God's plan. Just barely making it by, hoping the trumpet of God sounds tomorrow so you can escape out of here is not the plan. The plan is, you heard it sung, we've been made more than conquerors. A conqueror takes land. A conqueror takes possession. A conqueror takes the spoils. Many of us are not taking anything. We're kind of huddled in a corner waiting for Jesus to come real quick. And it's time to get a transition in our minds. Because until we truly believe that the spiritual realm is more powerful than the natural realm, then we're always going to be just living and surviving and not thriving in the things of God. So today we're going to learn this. The word of God and faith are interchangeable. Number two, the word is our title deed. And I'm going to show you how God made that real to me. See, this morning, if there's one thing I want you to glean, is I want you to see how I view faith. I want you to see how your pastor lives by faith. Because we all have a different point of contact with heaven. But this is how God deals with me. And maybe it's how God will deal with you. But this one thing I know, that if you can learn to walk by faith, then you could have people sit in a building like this. This is where you're sitting. You're sitting in faith. You're sitting in a place that literally was not here 10 years ago, 11 years ago now. This was no more than a cornfield and a pot field. No, really. They had just done a big arrest harvest. I don't think they got anybody, but they harvested almost 90 some odd plants out of here, 8-footers. Fundraisers out the door. What are you going to do? But the fact is this building wasn't here. But in the light of eternity, it was already established. The new building is not erect yet. There's nothing more than grass in the field. But in the mind of God, it's done. You see, we learn how that God's timing, and we've already talked about this multiple times, that you and I live in a different timing of God. God is eternally timed, and we are restricted by hours, minutes, seconds, and so on and so forth. But God does not see that way. God sees eternally. So as believers, when we learn how to walk by faith, we are able to see those things which are not as though they already are. Now watch now. We can see those things which are not. God sees it. It's already there. And God is saying it's already yours. But you and I cannot physically see it. But yet we have the ability by faith to possess something in our spirit, in our life, in our design, to where we can't physically touch it, but we already possess it. When we don't learn that way, then we live the non-Christian or the Christian way of faith. I'll believe it when I see it. Did I get it? I don't know. Did I get it? When there's no manifestation, you sit back and you go, well, I guess it wasn't for me. That's not faith. That does not please God. There's a need to learn how to walk by faith and not by, come on, walk by faith and not by, walk by faith and not by 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is, shout, faith is, shout is now. Now faith is what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. I love it in the Amplified version. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things we've hoped for, that divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. Here it is, ready? The conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as facts what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So many of us are living by these physical senses so desperately and so deeply that when God starts to move by faith, we actually cancel God's miracle. There are many that God wants to have you step out on nothing. You've had dreams and visions. God put a desire in your heart, but every time you go to step out, your senses say, well, that doesn't make sense. And the problem is when you put more faith in your sense rather than faith in the word, then you are going to constantly always struggle about stepping out. Therefore, you're always going to be where you are, and you're never going to move forward. This is why so many believers get bored. You can't be bored walking by faith. Why? Because God's always stretching you. God's always increasing your faith. God is always bringing you to a place you've never been before. God is always stretching you to where you are going to have to trust him. The truth is that most Christians do not have to trust God. They've got it all in their own pocket, or so they seem. And when God says it's time to supersede your physical senses and start to believe what I have available for you, we abandon what God's provision is and lay hold of what we can acquire, and we sit back and say, where's God? And God is saying, no, where are you? See, this is the walk by faith thing that we're talking about. So many of us don't realize how powerful the word of God is. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Let me say that one more time so you get that in your spirit. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy. I want you to hear this. You see, when you start bringing this understanding and putting it together, there are things you cannot separate in the scripture. You cannot separate the blood and the body. We find it in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 15. We find it in Psalms 103, Psalms 105, Psalms 107, Isaiah chapter 53. We find it in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We also find it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. You cannot separate the blood and the body. The blood always represents forgiveness. The body always represents healing. You can't separate it. There's another thing you cannot separate. You cannot separate the gospel and the supernatural power of God. Every time you see the gospel come, you see the power of God released in the book of Acts. Every time you see the power of God released, you'll always see the gospel coupled with it. You can't separate the two. So you can't separate the blood and the body, and you can't separate the power and the gospel, and you cannot separate the word and faith. You have no need for faith if you don't have the word. And you have no need of the word if you don't have faith. You see, until we grasp this, then we constantly keep things separated. And if you keep things separated, two wires that are separated can both have electricity coming on both sides. But until they're connected, it's not going to create a fusion. There's a time to recognize that we cannot separate faith and the word of God. They are one and the same. Jesus is the word that was there from the beginning, and it became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 63, that the spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. You cannot separate the word in faith and faith in the word. They're interchangeable, but the problem is the enemy works so desperate to keep you out of the word of God. Some of you, this is the only word you're going to get all week. Some of you won't pick up your Bible. You won't put it on the YouVersion app. Some of you, this is the only thing you're going to hear all week long. And you're wondering why you're starving as a believer. I'll tell you why. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. If you want faith to please God, but you're not in the Word, then you can't please God. So he's working desperately overtime to keep you from the scripture. He's working desperately overtime to keep you from church. Man, I don't know about you, but I believe. Listen, I'll just tell you the way it is. I believe this church should be so full in first service that we have to add all the chairs and there are people out in the foyer. But watch. The enemy has put within the believers that the word is not important. I got a sunburn on my nose that just makes me look like Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. I believe in the sun. I believe in fun. Can I hear an amen? I believe in family. But I want you to know that I put nothing before the house of God. Well, why? Because my destiny is wrapped up in the house of God that I attend, because the word that is preached is going to bring Christ to my life in a dimension that will either propel me or brings me into a lackadaisical mindset as a believer. You see, there's a launching point, and Christ created the church, not man. People said to me, well, I don't believe in church. Well, then you don't believe in Christ. See, Christ created the church and he gave gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and evangelist. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. To bring them to unity and to bring them to maturity. So they will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But that we may mature and grow up in Christ. And we may fulfill God's destiny for our hearts. Well, why? What's being done in the house of God? The word is being preached. Corporate worship is being brought in. The power of God is being released. God is changing us. You see, the Bible declares in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the least amount of word, the least amount of faith. You're busy. You listen, you're not too busy for the word. Well, I don't got time. Then your time is being spent wrong. Well, I've got other priorities. Exactly. The priorities that most parents hold. Oh, come on now, I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I feel the will. There are so many Christian believers that sacrifice their children on the altar of sports. Sunday morning rolls around, or even youth group rolls around, and they let their kids go play sports. That's going to do what? Most of them will never be in a pro realm. So very few will ever enter the pro realm. But yet what will happen is, they'll sacrifice their faith for something temporary. So many believers sacrifice their faith for something temporary. And the enemy is elated because he knows if he can get you to do this, then when hell starts licking your toes, what do you got to rely on? What do you got to fall on? You can only fall on your senses. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You've lost sleep. You know what I'm talking about? You sit down and connive how to fix things. You know what I'm talking about? You get fear overtaking your life. You know what I'm talking about? So many of you might be on anxiety pills to take the edge off. Why is that? Where are we? Why are we in this position? It's because we genuinely do not believe that the word of God is supernatural, that the word of God is supernatural, powerful, and transforming, and we put more faith in our sense world than we do in our faith world. Boy, it got awful quiet in this room. The word is our title deed. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggled for many years. What does it mean it's my title deed, God? Is it like I'm believing for, let's just say, a healing in my body? I'm believing for a healing in my body. I believe in my healing. It's almost like you're reaching up in the sky and you're trying to pull something down. And for me, it was, for many years, a strong struggle. As you know, that faith can be seen. You can see faith. It can be manifested in front of you. You can actually look at people and see their faith. And I said, God, but your word is so powerful, and your word declares in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the confidence. But God, what am I putting my confidence in? Something I cannot see. And he said, no, no, no. He said, it's something you cannot touch, but you can see. The Bible being synonymous with faith. Inseparable. He said to me, son, this is how I'm going to help you make your divine connection with my word so your faith can be released. Our sense world says, I've got this sickness. Our sense world says, I have this pain. And our spirit man knows the word of God that says, by his stripes I was healed. So we start declaring, I thank God that I'm healed. I thank you, Jesus, that your word supersedes. I'm not denying the facts, but I'm declaring the truth. But I want you to know that still was a struggle for me. Maybe I'm just by myself. And God said to me, since you cannot separate my word and faith, then grab a hold of your Bible. Many believers don't even have a Bible. Or if they have a Bible, they haven't picked up their Bible in so long. Now, I thank God for our cell phones. But there's something about the written word of God. There's something about putting it in your fingers and reading it with your eyes. I thank God for our cell phones, and I use my iPad and my cell phone to do my devotions. But God said, son, I want you to pick up my word. And he said, son, this is your answer until what you're believing for manifests. I need healing. This is my healing. I need prosperity. This is my prosperity. The bank's calling. They want money. This is my money. I grab a hold of my word and I say, Father, I see in your scripture that by your stripes I was healed. So here it is. Here's my healing. Oh, but I still got pain. But the word says, I'm already healed. Come on now. I'm hoping I'm healed, no faith. I'm believing I'm going to be healed, no faith. It is either done or it's not. It is either accomplished or not accomplished. It is either fulfilled or someday might be fulfilled. See, this is where the cauldron starts to meld together. This is where we have to make a separation and a clarity within our own hearts. That when we're starting to believe God for something that is absolutely impossible, when we know that God declared it in his word and it is ours, then we've got to grab a hold of his word. Listen now, some of you can do this thing where you can see it and it's already there and you don't have to grab nothing. But baby, I grab a hold of my scripture and I make a declaration. I lay it on my body and I say, according to the word of God, not my word. I love what it says in the book of Luke. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I lay the word of God on my body. I declare the symptoms to come under the authority of God's word, and I lay hold of the truth that will make me free. And even though I can't see it manifest in the physical yet, I might still be walking in pain, but yet I know I'm walking in health because I've got the faith in my hand to declare that God's word is truth and I will not be deterred. I'm walking my walk. It might be a month. It might be a week. But faith says I've got it now, not when it shows up. And some of you need that point of contact. My pastor used to tell me up in Rochester, she said, she'd get all these bills, all the church bills, and they'd be hundreds of thousands of dollars in bills. And she'd look at the checking account, and the checking account did not have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bill, worth of money to pay the bills. She said, I would lay all, this is what she told me. She said, I'd lay all the bills out on the floor, and then I'd lay on top of the bills. And I'd start declaring the word of God. You see, when we truly understand the Bible is truth, then the sense realm that you and I are dealing with every single day has to come into submission to the supernatural world. Learning how to stand on the word. Learning how to put your trust in the word. This is the problem. So many of us no longer believe in the Bible. We like what it says when it comes across a topic that we enjoy. Can I hear an amen or oh my? It's not enough to believe in the Bible. It's not enough to believe in the Bible.
Well, I believe in the Bible.
Really? You see, I've learned this. Watch a teenager who wants a car. When they believe it should be theirs, they'll make it happen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, when you actually believe something, you'll do something to make that happen. You see, when you believe the Bible is true, you do more than just allow your sensory world to grab hold of where you are. Now, I'm not saying this is not a challenge. When the doctor gives you a report that you're sick, that you got a problem, you have to make a choice. Listen, the doctor's not lying. They're not evil. They're good. Anything that thwarts sickness is good. But they're not the great physician. They can't give you the promise that by their stripes you were healed. There's only one name under heaven, not only shall you be saved, but one name under heaven that everything must submit, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Cancer is not stronger than Jesus. Depression is not stronger than Jesus. Anxiety is not stronger than Jesus. Nothing is stronger than the name of Jesus and the promises of God. They are yea and amen. You see, God himself, listen now, God works through his word. God acts through his word. And God confirms his word. When you grab a hold of the Bible and you believe it's true, and your sensory world is telling you that what you're believing for is crazy. And it does. That's why the Bible says, bring into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God. Because what happens is, when your sensory world that's connecting you to this natural world is contradictory to the word of God, your natural world says, you are crazy to believe that. That makes no sense at all. You are committing intellectual suicide if you believe this. But I want you to know something. When you believe the word of God is true, when you know that the word of God is true, there is a superseding reality, and that is God's word is stronger than our sense world. That God can literally, listen now, it wasn't a story in the Bible, but God can roll back the Red Sea. God can do the supernatural. You can go and need to pay your taxes, and Jesus will go tell you, go fish. You're struggling with your children. And you can bind the devil that they're playing with. And that spirit hears you. That spirit knows you in the name of Jesus. And that spirit has to subject themselves to you. This is not a game. This is not some religious empire that's being created. But this is the reality of who God is. And his word is truth. And his word will make you free. I've got to hurry up. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Now listen, if you don't have a Bible in your hand, make that noise. My wife and I are going to, we really want to create an app, a Bible-turning app, just so that when the preacher tells you to turn to it, it sounds like you're turning a Bible. I strongly encourage, can everybody say strongly? I strongly encourage you to bring your Bible to church. You know what I find is that when I'm in the mornings at time with my iPad reading the Bible, something that God is speaking to my heart will jump out at me, and I'll make a note on that app. What happens if that app leaves? What happens if that company closes? Where are your notes? I challenge you to bring your Bible to church. Bring a pen to church. They're training it in the youth ministry right now. See, I might not be able to get all you to do it, but we're going to train the young people coming up. Pastor Cody's already training the teenagers to bring a notebook to church, to bring their Bible to church. Why? Because you're going to create what we call a legacy Bible for your next generation so you can hand down and they can hear what God has spoken to your hearts. It says this. I want to show you this. I want you to see this. So it was as the multitude pressed into Jesus to hear the word of God. Oh, let me ask you a question now. When was the last time you were so desperate for the word you were willing to press in no matter what the cost? When was the last time you wanted to hear the words of Jesus so desperately that it did not matter if you had to? Listen, I know folks that have traveled down to New York City to hear Joel Osteen. I love Brother Joel, but I want you to know something. There are a lot of people that will travel all the way down to New York City to hear Joel Osteen, but they won't come 5 miles to hear the word of God in their own church. We got folks in this room this morning. What time did you guys get up? 2 a.m. What time did you leave to come to church? 4 a.m., they left Wellsboro to be here this morning. They were here for 7:15 a.m. prayer. They're here almost every week. Why? They're pressing in. When was the last time you got so desperate to hear the word of God? Listen, don't wait. Please hear me. Don't wait till the trouble comes to press in. Don't wait for the doctor's report to press in. Don't wait for the bank's problem to press in. Don't wait for your children's problem to press in. Press in now. Get desperate enough for Christ that you're going to press in. And when you press in, I want you to know something. His word will not return void. They pressed in. That he stood by the lake of I always say this one right. How do you say that? Brother John? He's focused. That's the one. And listen, I had to actually take a Bible college course in how to say all these names. That was just 30 years ago. Here we go. And I saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, who was later named Peter, and asked them to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. But when he had stopped speaking, he said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But, if I shout, but. But Simon answered and said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." Now I want you to hear me, because this is the reality of a lot of our lives. We worked all night. Listen, these were professional fishermen. This is what they did for a living. Peter didn't have a little canoe. He had a fleet of boats. This is what and how they made their money. So they knew. Have you ever been? For Christmas, my wife, she really likes experiences. So I buy her fishing experiences. She loves to fish, not me. So 2 years ago, I bought her a deep sea fishing package down in Daytona Beach area. We finally got to it just about a month ago. So here we are. We get on this boat. I want you to realize, we're getting on a boat to go into the ocean. I don't know this boat. I don't know the captain. I don't even know his name. But I got enough faith that I got in his boat. Duh. Man, people say to have faith in God takes a lot of trust. Really? We went out about, 15, 20 miles into the ocean. It was an hour trip. And he stops. You know where he stopped? I don't know either. But he stopped and he let the anchor out. He said, now bait your hooks. Hang your poles over the edge. Now release them. It will go down about 60 to 80 feet. Please don't take your finger off the bail. You'll make a nest. And you know what? About 60, 80 feet, it hit the bottom. He was a professional guide. I caught the most fish on that boat. Come on now. Come on, give God praise just for me, just a little bit. And again, the last second, my wife pulls up the biggest red snapper. I hate her sometimes. Not right. So here Jesus gets on Peter's boat. Where's Peter? Peter's fixing their nets. The night is over. The professional fishermen have been out all night long. They are tired. They are hungry. They are fatigued. Their nets got snagged, and now they're there fixing their nets. The night is over. Now they can go back and rest, be with their families, and get the rest of the day going because the night's there. And then this guy, this carpenter, gets on the fisherman, professional fisherman's boat and says, hey, by the way, why don't you pull out there? We'll go catch some fish. He didn't say, let's pull out there. We might catch some fish. He said, launch out into the deep, and you're going to bring in a harvest. I want you to know that when you and I hear the words of Jesus, the words of life and spirit, when we hear the words of Jesus, we have a choice, just like Peter right here had a choice, just like this man had a choice, this professional fisherman. Listen, so many of us contradict the word of God because our sense world, come on now, we are professionals. We've been doing this job for long enough. We've tried this long enough. We've done it this way long enough. And we tell God, listen now, you just don't know what you're talking about. You're a carpenter. You go hang out over there. I'll bring you a hammer. See, if you don't believe the words, then you can't put your faith in the one. He had to make a choice. What's his choice? His choices are this. Jesus, no problem, man. I'm not even going to charge you for using my boat. I'm not going to charge you a rental fee for getting on there and teaching this crowd that's disrupting my business. You see, Jesus, they kind of got close to me while I'm fixing the net stuff. You know, I just want you to realize, you know, Christ, I'm good with your teaching. I'm good with your preaching. Come on now, we got a lot of believers like this. I'm good with your teaching. I'm good with your preaching, but I don't believe in myself. So-and-so is one of those more religious people. They believe in it. But you know, Jesus, I just really just heard you for the first time here. You know, I'm a fisherman, and you're a carpenter, and you're trying to tell me how to run my company. There's a choice coming on. See, the moment you think you really know what you're doing, you're really lost. When you think you got everything in your pocket, come on now, you're really confused. A fly comes in your house, and let's just say you're a humaniac. I had a neighbor who was that at one time. A fly lands on your window, and your husband gets excited, and he blows the wing off your fly. Maybe you're Buddhist, and you think that's maybe my uncle. So you feel compassion to this fly, your late uncle. That's messed up, man. So you grab the wing and you just want to fix this fly. Honey, we got any super glue? Listen, it don't matter whether you super glue that thing together. You ain't can't fix it. You and I can't even fix the wing of a fly. What makes you think that you're in control of your own life? He had a choice to make. This is faith now. I'm showing you faith now. Not just how I take the word and apply it to my body or apply it to my bills, but I literally take it in my hands. I can have that see in faith to release that point of contact, to release my faith that I can call those things which are not as though they already are. It might take a few steps, or I walk by faith and not by sight, but I know this, that if the word says it, it don't matter what anybody else says, what anybody else does. The word is yea and amen. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the truth. And if the word says it, it is so. Here he is. But Simon answered and said to Jesus, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Here it is. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners on the other boat, and they came to help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. Listen now. Some of you just don't believe the Bible. Jesus is saying, well, let's just get basic. Jesus is saying, you got to stop hanging around those people. Well, you know, Lord, they've been my friends for all these years. But you know that if you stay with those people, there's no way for bad company corrupts good morals. You're going to go to your next level. But you'd rather believe your sense world of emotion than you were to step into the word of God and see your deliverance. Some of you got a report from a doctor and your sense world is real. You're having pain in your body. You can't deny the pain in your body. It's real. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll apply it. I'll lay hold of it. I'll declare it. I'll decree it. I will not move to the right or the left, but I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I will not be deterred. I will not be robbed. I will not allow doubt to have place in my life. I'll bring into captivity every thought and imagination that brings itself up against God, and I will remain steadfast and steady that God's word is true, no matter what anybody else says. You see, Peter had that choice. If he had not said nevertheless, which made no sense. Come on now, that made no sense. Made no sense for a carpenter to try to tell him how to run his business. Made no sense that Jesus told him to cast out and to throw his nets in. It made no sense. Faith don't make sense. For if faith makes sense, you never have to have faith. Faith is believing what you don't have control of. Faith is saying if God said it, it don't matter if I can touch it yet. It's already mine. So most people don't live by faith. They live by their senses. And then we wonder where God is, and God is saying, no, no, no. Nevertheless! Nevertheless! Put your butt where it belongs, behind you. But! You see, if you're always looking at your butt, you can never see your forward. It is so good. There are things I'm believing God for right now. I need them. I have to have them. pressure in my life, adversity in my life, things happening in my life. That's right now. But then I have the reality that I know what God's called this church to do. And so now I have to start declaring and believing God for this building to be paid off and then the next one to be built. But I'm still dealing with this. If I'm always dealing with this, then I'll never see this. And we have to make a choice. Either God's word is true or it's a lie. If it's a lie, you're stupid for being in this room. Well, what do I mean by that? If the word of God is a lie, then you've based your entire eternity on fiction. But if the word of God is truth, then we have to start applying the word of God and looking at our situations that are real and that are valid, and we have to look at them and say, nevertheless, Jesus, at your word, I will step out on nothing. I will do what doesn't make sense to the senses. I will step out in faith. I will abolish fear and unbelief. And I will say, God, if you said it, but Lord, I've been believing for so long. Thank God. Abraham believed for 20 years before he had his promise. But thank God he never gave up on the promise, or you and I would not be here today. You see, God is calling us to live by faith and not by sight. We must be people of faith. Faith has to be acted on. This is your faith. If you're dealing with sickness, I'm healed. Well, we all know the reality. Oh, listen, I'm not telling you to deny the reality. I'm telling you to declare the truth. I know the reality, but I know the truth is stronger than the reality. You heard us preach a message 3 years ago. Truth trumps facts. The truth will bend the senses. God, your word is truth. This is your faith. But watch this. You don't need this when that appears. Because faith has been answered. See, you don't need faith when you have what you're believing for has manifested. It's now a reality. But until that manifests, this is your reality. So one reality in the spirit is replaced by the reality even in the senses. Whew. Yeah, this is supper tonight. Our challenge is, so many of us say we believe in the Bible, but we don't. And you've got to get back in the Word of God. Here's your prescription. You go to the doctor. My wife went to the doctor's. She got bit by a tick. She went to the doctor. The doctor gave her an antibiotic. Said for 3 weeks, you got to take this antibiotic. Don't go in the sun. You do got to be obedient. You know what I mean? She would walk on a tile floor and her feet would go on fire and tingle. Her hands were feeling weird and strange. So she got online and found that the doctors were saying that if you're having that experience, get off that one because it's not good for you. So she got off that antibiotic. Do you remember the name of it? No. Most of you don't either. But you still take it. But the preacher stands up behind the pulpit, declaring the word of God, gives your prescription, and if you have time, you might take it. But I guarantee your feet will tingle. And your hands will move in the anointing and the power of God. And the energy of heaven, that anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage, will be released in your body, in your mind, in your situation. You can call those things which are not as though they already are. God, with the prescription of heaven, will make you free, and free indeed, if you will apply the prescription. You got to be in the Bible at least a half hour a day. I hate to read. YouVersion, excuses over. Free app, it will read the Bible to you. And it will read it while you stare at it. It will scroll verse by verse so you can see it and hear it at the same time. Excuses over. If you really want to excel in your faith, I challenge you to put on the Bible on YouVersion while you go to bed. Listen to the Word of God while you're sleeping. Your spirit never sleeps. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. Listen, next week I'm going to teach you, actually the week after. Next week is Father's Day. Make sure you bring your daddies. They're all going to get a free barbecue spatula. Jesus, I'm coming just for the spatula. I've ordered, I think, 1,000 of them. 1,000 spatulas. Get ready. The week after, I'm going to teach you how to release your faith with your words. How so many of us get to the place where we're starting to believe and we cancel the miracle with our mouth. We'll teach you. See, because this is how you're going to go to your next level. You can't get to your next level by accident. Well, I don't believe in going to formal church. Really? Then why do you send your child to school? Why do you pay tens of thousands of dollars to send them to college? That's all temporary sense knowledge. Might get them money in their pocket while they're on the planet, but they can't take them with them when they go to eternity. So the question really is, what's the most important knowledge you can apply to your spirit? That's the Word of God. Father, I just declare over this congregation that we are people of faith. I declare, God, your covenant, not one shall be lost in Jesus' name. Not one will walk away in Jesus' name. Lord, not one, God, will be confused by the enemy and twisted by the enemy like Eve was. God, I declare in the name of Jesus that men won't be like Adam was and make a conscious decision to walk away. I declare that not one shall be lost. I declare divine health upon your congregation by faith according to your word. I apply it to your house in Jesus' name. No sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growth. Oh, God, I declare divine health. Lord, I speak prosperity over your people. Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus that we'll have more than enough, that God is where tithers and sowers, that, Lord, the blessings will trip us up. They'll chase us down. God will be so blessed that, Father, people will say, I got to know what your secret is. And you can tell them, it's Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen, I am not going to apologize for preaching long, because this is a message you've got to get in your spirit. This one is one of the most important ones you have for the year, this series. Week one, what is faith? Week two, what was your title? Faith doesn't care. Week three, right here. You need these. And then the last one you've got to have. You need to buy the DVD series, buy the CD series. Get online and watch it over and over and over again. Build your faith. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a church for you to join. I don't have a religion for you to join. But I got a God who loves you and gave himself for you, that Jesus believes in you. And right now, you're feeling the drawing of the Holy Spirit to salvation. You're not even sure what's going on. But this you know, I need God. You've had enough faith preached to you over this time, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, that you feel the drawing of God. And today, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, you want to make him the Lord of your life, you want to step into this realm that we're talking about that is more powerful than your senses, you want Christ, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that would like to receive Jesus as their Savior? Not going to wait long. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else this morning? Not going to wait long. Now listen, saints, I'm going to get a little abrupt with you. You got to stop. Thank you, ma'am. You got to stop coming with nobody. They're not going to get saved unless you're going to do it out on the streets yourself. And I don't mind you do that. I prayed for it this morning. But man, this house should be filled with guests. This house should be filled with people that are lost so they can know Christ. If you really love somebody, you'll tell them. You'll bring them to the house of God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? One more call. Is anybody else that wants Jesus? 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and thank you. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Mindy, I'm going to have you come on over here with your beautiful red dress. Stand up on the third. Is that red? There's just so many colors out there these days, I wasn't sure. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you raise your hand for salvation, can anybody do me a favor? Turn to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, ask the person right next to you. I don't care if you know them or not. Just obey. Just do it real quick. Look at my aunt. My uncle just asked my aunt if she wanted to get saved. I like that. If you raise your hand, I'd like you to come forward right now. Come right out of your chair. Come forward right now. I'm so proud of you, ma'am. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much. Young lady, I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you. Ma'am, I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for giving your heart to Jesus. It's going to change your life. This is Mindy. She's going to pray with you. If you'll just follow her on over there. We want to get your Bible. Make sure you understand what's going on. Amen. Just follow Mindy right on over there. We're going to pray with you right there. Everybody else, I love you. Shout it out loud. I walk by faith and not by sight. One more time, I walk by faith and not by sight. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. I'll see you here next week. Make sure you bring your dad.